Joey, Phoebe, Chandler, Monica,
Ross, Rachel, to us the Earth phenomena.
Here is our confession,
for it's an obsession
that never passed, so we made a podcast. I'm Adele.
I'm Zoe.
And this is Friends from A to Z.
Hello, everybody in the Friends fans universe. We are here today, Friends from A to Z, from Adele to Zoe. We are friends talking about friends, and hopefully our lockdown sound is sounding a little bit better today because we've got some proper mics on the go for this remote podcasting.
Yeah, we managed to have a clandestine meetup in a park and a picnic where I surreptitiously handed you a bag of contraband that had a microphone in it.
I think you put it straight in the buggy, so we still didn't even come near each other because it went straight into the buggy, not even to me.
True. I hope it was quarantined for a...
Yeah, I've disinfected it.
Good. But,
so now we're going to talk in lovely, lovely clear quality about a quality episode, you could say. The one where Chandler crosses a line.
Yes, indeed.
The line is a dot to him right now.
Yep.
Spoiler alert. So we're going to talk about what we like in this episode, what we don't like, what seems weird with 2020 vision, friends through a lens all these years later, our favourite friend, our favourite joke, or just general chit-chat about the episode's merriment in general.
Yes, good.
But first of all, we need to remind ourselves, so he's crossed a line, but what line is it? We need to remind ourselves what's going on in this episode. So please, Adele, will you tell us in the form of an epidemic, which is the episode in the form of a limerick?
Happy to.
Nice.
Okay. Phoebe thinks Ross's sound is so hot. Mon and Rachel, however, do not. Chandler cannot resist or unkiss who he's kissed. He's so far over the line, it's a dot.
Oh, goodness. That's why you made a funny face when I said the line is a dot to you right now. Oh, that's such a great one. Oh, my God, that's so good. You know what's really good about that one is you've taken an absolutely iconic line and then that is the, like, end reveal line of the epidemic.
Yes. I'll tell you what I was happiest with, though.
All right.
Is the middle bit. Chandler cannot resist or unkiss who he's kissed.
He cannot unkiss. You want like an undo button on that. Undo, undo.
Totes.
He cannot unkiss who he's kissed. Oh my God, so clever. And he does think Ross, because you've got the whole Ross sound. We've only got two storylines in this whole episode, really, haven't we?
Yeah, it's got to be pretty unique in only having two storylines. But having said that, it's jam-packed full.
It is jam-packed full. Yeah, yeah. Mon and Rachel, however, do not. I think that's so funny. They do not think the Ross sound is very hot. Chandler cannot resist kiss who he's kissed. He's so far over the line, it's a dot.
I feel like we don't need to discuss it now. We've kind of covered everything off.
But go on then, let's do it a little bit. Right, this is the one where Chandler has crossed the line. Right. The one where Chandler crosses the line. IMDb and Netflix summarise this episode like this. IMDb. Chandler is guilt-ridden after kissing Kathy. Ross starts playing the keyboard again and everyone except Phoebe thinks he's terrible. Joey dates someone else while attached to Katie. Maybe that should say Kathy.
Yeah, I think it should. I'm wondering if that's... That might well be my typo. I apologise for that.
Joey dates someone else while attached to Kathy. Yeah, yeah, fine.
That's a funny phrase, because when you initially... Yeah, sounds like he's literally physically attached to her and kissing someone else at the same time. Also, what do we think about opening line there telling you that Chandler kisses Kathy?
Terrible. Guilt-ridden after kissing Kathy. Yeah. Yeah, because it doesn't happen, what happens about halfway through the episode?
Yeah, and they could have been a bit more sort of teasing with that, couldn't they? Something like, I don't know, the Chandler's relationship with Kathy takes a bad turn or so, I don't know, something that just tells you something happens, but not exactly what happens.
So if you think that's bad then, Netflix. Oh, Chandler is guilt-ridden after kissing Joey's girlfriend. Ross's musical talents are not as amazing as he and Phoebe thinks. Right, so they've basically ripped off IMDb. And as I say, you know, IMDb, you can kind of get away with that they've... that people have probably seen the episode, but on for Netflix to literally have it come up that you're about to watch this episode, maybe for the first time, and it has Chandler is guilt-ridden after kissing Joey's girlfriend, then that whole first bit of it just loses all its impact. How annoying.
Yeah, because you need that build-up, don't you? You need to see how these little serendipitous accidents happen that leave those two alone in such a sort of literally intimate moment. Yeah.
Will they, won't they? They will.
Indeed, they will.
Okay, right. Now, what do we think of the episode in its ranked situation of season four?
What do you think of the episode in its ranked situation?
So, I went back and forth a bit with this because it is quite an important episode and it is quite an enjoyable watch, but it's not, I don't know, it's not just, it's not totally smashing it for me. So it's a 10th.
Oh dear. I'm really surprised.
Oh, Adele's face.
Just in general or in response to that comment.
Yeah, I can't even see it.
I am going to need to hear a lot more about that conclusion. Oh. I'm really surprised. So,
why, you really like it?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, 1,000 times yes. Oh. So it is 6th for me. It is just outside of the top 5 of the season.
Thank you for explaining 6. Thank you.
It is... it's pretty high on IMDb, so it scores an average of 8.7, putting it 7th in all of season 4. And inexplicably, it's not in Ranker.com's top 100, given some of the other episodes that have been in Ranker.com's top 100. But we'll gloss over that. So I've, in my overall summary of this episode, I've written brilliant episode. And I think both storylines are absolutely perfection. I think they're both so good. So tell me, is it because the Chandler Joey one actually isn't that funny?
Yeah, maybe because it's a bit sad. Maybe I can't quite like love it. But and I think it's because I like the one in the box more. I think I like is that what it's called? Yeah. I think
the one
I like
Chandler in a box, I think.
Chandler in a box. I think maybe because I like that one more, this one doesn't quite rank as high compared to that. But you know, it's 10th. It's still top half. It's still very, very good. There are some really funny bits in it. And I think some bits of the story are, these characters are really established now that they mock each other, like Monica, you know, the sisterly kind of taking the piss out of Ross is so funny and it's so established. And Phoebe's, it makes sense there too, that she would think that it was good. And, you know, and Chandler and Joey, it's such best friendship that we're seeing here. So there are really good character elements to this that are very good.
And I think I'm surprised at, now I mean, 10 is a good score, but when you started talking, you seemed a bit more indifferent than maybe, or maybe a bit more neutral than a 10 would suggest.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons I'm so surprised is because I think it's one of David Schwimmer's most brilliant episodes. Like, he's so good in every second of this. Oh man, I mean, that's amazing. I mean, should we start with where should we start? We've got essentially the Chandler Joey thing, or we've got the Ross music.
Let's talk about Chandler Joey first, shall we? Because that's meaty.
Yeah, okay. So this starts,
it's almost like Chandler gets, usually there are 3 storylines within Friends, and here we've only got 2, haven't we? We've got the Chandler Joey thing, we've got the Ross thing, and it feels like it's 2/3 Chandler Joey, 1/3 Ross.
Yes, and it's interesting that, because the Chandler Joey thing has a few really big moments, like the whole thing turns full circle in this episode, doesn't it? We literally go from, because we, in the last episode, previous episode with the Velveteen Rabbit, we figured that Kathy had sort of got wind of the fact that Chandler's a bit more than a platonic roommate of her boyfriend. And that's where we start. And we go from that to that sort of being confirmed that she definitely does know he likes her, right through to this really heartbreaking moment between Chandler and Joey. So, yeah, such a lot happens in one episode. You think they could have actually stretched this out a little bit more, probably. Could have had a bit more tension before Joey finds out what happened. So I like that they did it all in one.
Yeah. I read in some trivia type stuff that there is in the DVD extras, well, not that I have the DVD, that there is a Rachel storyline as well that was cut. Rachel had her own storyline. Because I did think Rachel has very little to do in this episode. And last time when she's doing a crossword, very little to do. She hasn't had much to do. So there's a storyline which is all about Rachel getting confidence and eating out by herself. So going to restaurants and eating by herself. And they've cut it so to make more room for the Chandler Joey stuff.
That is interesting for two reasons. One, just because that's fascinating that that was in there and I'm glad they did. But two, her not eating alone in restaurants is referenced by Ross, isn't it? In like, I'm trying to think if it's before this or after this. He makes some comment to her at some point that she can't eat alone in restaurants.
Oh.
Maybe somebody listening will remember exactly when that is. I'm now wondering if it's afterwards.
But it'd be interesting if it was before, because then that would have triggered that. They're like, oh, let's give Rachel a little skit. And you could just imagine how it would have gone. Like, she's sitting there and someone she knows sees her and she was like, oh, no, I'm here, my friend. Hilarity ensues because she's not. I don't know. You can just kind of imagine it's a very throwaway thing. But, yeah, I was thinking when I watched this, Rachel really does not have much to do.
Yeah, true, true. And if that was discussed at any point, I'm very pleased that she was willing to give that up for the sake of them being able to do a proper job of the Chandler Joey thing, because it's so good. So that it starts in a bit of a funny way, doesn't it? Because basically Joey is being Joey here. He takes the number of another girl, Casey. Chandler sees him chatting to her in Central Perk. What do you think about this? Because we chatted about this a bit in the last couple of episodes, where Joey's been very funny with Chandler about insisting he spends time with him and his girlfriend, and we were a bit like, he's never done that with any girl he's gone out with before. Maybe Kathy is something a bit more long term to Joey. But then here he is chatting up someone else, not just chatting someone up, going on two dates with the two women on the same evening. What do you think about that?
He says it's not like we're exclusive, but then later in the episode, he says, my girlfriend, and he's like, she broke up with me. It is a bit contradictory, isn't it? And it might be one of the reasons why it doesn't totally nail it for me, because I don't know, why bring in Casey? Why do it? Why not just, wouldn't it have held more like just absolutely straight down the line? Chandler's really done a bad thing here. Because what he's done is he's kissed Joey's girlfriend when Joey is on another date with another girl. You know, it just kind of takes out some of
the, well,
or make Chandler not seem as bad as it to make him.
Or reason number three, it allows us as the audience to sort of excuse Chandler's behavior in the moment. So not necessarily post-rationalize and think, oh, come on, it wasn't that bad. But to, because that whole scene where we've got trouble because Joey's out with someone else and he's late, so Chandler kind of has to cover for him. Now you're saying that, I hadn't thought about it that way, but what kind of allows, because I don't know, I need to ask you, but are you kind of willing that moment, that kiss between the two of them?
Oh, defo. Are you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, it's so brilliantly done as well. Like, I also just love the little, when she's like, oh, it's really awkward. So what did you do today? Had an appointment to get my hair cut. Oh, it looks great. And it got cancelled. A brilliant little interchange between them. So she, again, a bit of Kathy, like, what are you doing? You offer to cut his hair. That's actually quite a intimate thing to do, so you got to ask yourself, is she sort of trying to engineer a moment here? Don't know. But the very fact that we know Joey is out with another woman at this point, I think allows us to egg Chandler on a bit and not be so kind of don't do it when the opportunity arises.
Yeah, if Joey was literally just like stuck at work, although I'm not sure he's really got a job as you, or stuck, you know, with his parents or something, you would feel like this is more deceitful for Chandler to be doing this when Joey's not there. So yeah, they had to make Chandler not seem as bad by having Joey be on a date with someone else.
And this is raising another thing for me now that I hadn't thought about, which is why does Joey get so upset? So yeah, this is really interesting, because Chandler is thinking, well, he's got the number of someone else, he's on a date with someone else. I'm pretty much in love with this woman that he's seeing, and it feels like maybe there's something going on there and we have this moment. But Joey actually isn't that upset about that. What he's upset about is the damage in trust it has done to his relationship with Chandler. So maybe that's why, see, this is the interesting thing, because that moment really does get me when Joey says, this is all tainted with your betrayal.
Oh yeah, that's a bad moment.
Wow, that's a hell of a moment. Not least because we don't really hear Joey use that kind of vocabulary, that sort of language.
Those are like big words.
Yeah, it's just very...
And he didn't even learn them in his encyclopedia, because that was the word letter B.
True, or his word of the day, toilet paper. So it's such a powerful moment. And now I'm thinking, yeah, you're right, there is this contradiction. And maybe that's why we struggle with it, because we go, come on, Joey, what's the big deal? He and again, it's like, did you sleep with her? No, I just kissed her. Well, that's even worse. You know, it's like, you betrayed me for almost a controllable, quite small indulgence. Whereas if you'd betrayed me because you totally lost control and you'd slept with her, that would almost be like, in a weird way, more understandable. But you didn't lose control because you kissed her and you stopped. So you knew that that was a bad thing to do. Yeah, this is... there's quite a lot of psychology at play here that I don't think I'd quite understood before. And now we're sort of starting off by saying, is this a bit of a flaw in the plot line that Joey is with some other woman? And then we're saying, actually, it's not a flaw at all. It is, in fact, the whole point.
Yeah.
A question I had for you. Do you think in that bit where Chandler and Kathy are left alone because Joey is late, do you think if that had never happened, if Joey had got back on time and it had all gone to the original plan, what do you think, Chandler would have eventually told Joey how he felt? Or do you think he would have just swallowed his feelings? Or like, what do you think would have happened? Because I feel like he would never have betrayed Joey unless those circumstances kind of hadn't conspired in that way. What do you think would have happened?
Oh, do you think so? I think because the feelings are so strong, they were going to come out, weren't they? It was going to happen with him and Kathy.
Oh, you think something would have happened between the two of them?
But okay. So the question is, would it have still happened in a dodgy way, or would he have just gone, I really like her?
Exactly that way. Because I think you do it really well. You sort of can see how Chandler ends up in this situation, and that moment where she's running her hands through his hair and stuff, like, you know, how would you resist such a thing if that's someone that you really fancied was doing that in that moment? And
I think the more he would have talked about it with his friends, the more they would have said, just tell Joey, you need to tell Joey how you feel. Yeah. I don't think he would have, unless some other situation would have arisen and conspired against him. You know, it could have been something else the next day or the next day, because their feelings are so strong that it wasn't going to just go away. Something needed to happen. He wasn't going to bury that. It either was going to, a little accident like this was going to happen, or he was going to tell Joey, and he probably would have told Joey.
And I feel like he was trying to avoid being alone with her as well, for exactly this. So that's another thing about Joey being late, isn't it? Like, I don't think Chandler really, he kind of does want to be in that situation, but he sort of doesn't want to be in that situation as well. So good, that bit, isn't it, where they sort of totally lose control. It's just really well done.
Yeah. Do you think, is Kathy being naive when she goes to cut his hair, or is it because she wants to touch him?
Good question. I mean, I would say, given that she's not actually a hairdresser, she's a dog groomer once for a short period of time. It's not even her profession. I think it's a funny thing to offer to do for somebody who's completely platonic to you. I don't think somebody with a brief dog grooming background would automatically offer to cut the hair of the flatmate of the guy they've been seeing for a few weeks. I think she wants, I mean, in a way it passes the time. I think that's a credible way of looking at it, that what it's weird. They're just sitting there, the two of them. There's a massive elephant in the room of how they both know how they feel about each other. But I can't help but think she's thinking that's actually quite a nice thing to be able to do.
I feel like she is a bit more naive. I feel like she says it in the moment. She's like, I could cut it. And then it kind of hits her. Oh God, that means getting close to you. And there is a clear moment of both of them being like, Kathy, especially us being really clear. Because when she's got the book from him, we're like, does she like him back still? Do we know? But there's a clear moment, isn't there, when she's cutting his hair. And they go, Joey's got good hair too, or something, you know, yeah. Where that's the moment where she's fully in this too.
And she blows on his neck. And Chandler's like, yeah, he's like, give me a break. Like, what am I doing?
And if then we were in the same room, I'd totally be blowing on your neck right now. Freak you out.
Well, not yourself. Remain at a safe distance. I really love it when, because a hairdresser does need to do that, right? They need to, particularly with short hair, that they have to sort of test. She tests, doesn't she, that it's equal on both sides, that she's cut it equally. But it's so intimate. Like, she does it in such a way, and then, yeah, the way he looks at her, and you're just like, this is going to end badly. And then it's so great when, like, the phone rings. It's like, the phone's making sounds.
Yeah, it's Joey.
Oh, and it's a really nice touch that she really does forget her purse, as we would say, handbag, wouldn't we? That she sort of she leaves in that big, oh no, this is bad. Gotta go, and then knocks on the door. I forgot my purse, and you think it's just an excuse, and she's like, no, I really did. I forgot my purse.
Yeah,
it's great. Yeah. And by that moment, you're all in with them, aren't you? You're like, yeah, go for it.
And then when Joey's like, she broke up with me, you know, I think there's someone else on the scene. And he's like, it's me. I'm the someone else. Oh, that's a kicker, that one, isn't it?
It really is. What do you think about him buying all that stuff? Refurbishing the whole thing. Oh,
very, makes sense, doesn't it? Like, you would, he just feels so guilty, and he's gone and bought all this stuff, for sure. Expensive, though.
I know. And he goes, I'm 29.
So what do you think about him buying that stuff?
I look upon it, I think, slightly more favourably than Joey, because I don't think it's as sort of Machiavellian as this will make up for it. I think it really is because he feels so incredibly, he knows what he's done, and he didn't mean to, and it's the only way he can do something that shows what Joey means to him. But of course, on the receiving end, it just looks completely disingenuous. What a moment, it's all tainted with your betrayal. I mean, what a fantastic line. And yeah, just before that, we get the amazing, you're over the line, you're so far past the line, you can't even see the line is a dot to you. Brilliant.
I mean, that's used so much, isn't it? I use it all the time. Everybody uses it. But everybody does use it, right? That's not just us.
I think it might be just us.
No.
Yeah.
Really? What, yeah. The line is a dot to you?
Yeah.
Listeners, please tweet us or Facebook us. Do you use this line as much as me and Adele use it at each other?
I think, given how much I constantly betray you, that's why you use it to me a lot.
Everything is tainted in your betrayal. It's got my favourite joke of the episode, this, which is weird because I don't actually, it was only on the rewatch that I laughed so hard at it. I don't remember laughing as hard at the time. He's like, it's all right, you know, Kathy broke up with me. He's like, I actually thought she was doing a scene, which is why I let everybody watch.
Yes, that's so very funny. Good.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Yeah.
The Chandler-Kathy romance, I feel like it's one of the most memorable of all, that's not within the group, of all 10 seasons. I feel mm-hmm. like it's very, very salient. You think of how many people they all go out with over the years. It really captured the imagination, I think.
Why do you think it was so, why did it do that?
I think because, A, because it's played out over several episodes, I suppose, and B, because of how the iconic moments it created in Chandler and Joey's relationship. This and then obviously the box that's coming up in the next episode as well. Incredibly memorable episodes.
Yeah.
Did she go on to do more stuff, Kathy?
No. Her real name is Padgett. Ooh. A great name. Padgett Brewster.
Wow, that is a great name.
Padgett. P-A-G-E-T. Padgett. I'll say it again. Padgett.
She, her word is lost on me.
How about Padgett? Could have been Casey.
She was on Twitter, I think it might have been last year, maybe, when it was the 25th anniversary. So I got the feeling, this sounds bad, but I got the feeling she hadn't done lots of other stuff afterwards because she was still tweeting loads of things about her memories of being in the show and very sweetly how lovely everybody was and it was the best time of her life and things like this. So I thought...
Bet it bloody was.
Yeah,
I mean, can you imagine? Because she's not, super famous. You know, she's not famous, is she, going into this? As time goes on, you know, when they need someone for Phoebe, it's Paul Rudd, you know, it's people who are already famous and stuff. But she is just a girl standing in front of a guy.
And she got to snog both Matt LeBlanc and Matthew Perry.
True.
At their peak.
Oh, my God. No wonder it's the best time of her blooming life.
I know.
For sure.
It's great. And a brilliant, I mean, you know, we're left with a proper cliffhanger here, aren't we? Like, what on earth is going to happen? We've seen Joey and Chandler have rough moments before when Joey moved out and such.
Yeah.
This is big. This is betrayal.
This is a big one. And I like the discussion we've had because it's made me see it a bit differently. I'm like, why couldn't they just make it? Because this sort of tainted with betrayal. You can see, well, he was on a date with someone else, blah, 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 blah. But actually... They had to do that. It's not black and white. Like if they'd made Chandler, if Joey was actually, just had car trouble and wasn't on another date, then this would be a bit more like, oh God, Chandler's really screwed him over here. But it's a little bit more blurry than that. But that's because otherwise we wouldn't buy into it as much. We wouldn't like it as much because Chandler would just be being really bad. But it's just an accident of two people who cannot help how they feel. And at least Kathy breaks up with him the second it happens.
Yeah, that's true. Because we've questioned her values a bit, haven't we? With her whole, like that real moment with Chandler. And then she goes off to use a Joey voucher or whatever it was. Yeah. And I think what we've seen here is that if Chandler was just being cruel, if he was just opportunistic and Joey's out of the house, so I'm going to take this opportunity, then we wouldn't be so surprised by Joey's reaction. And that line about the betrayal wouldn't have as much power, but it holds incredible power because we think, well, this is about the bro code. And this isn't at all about Joey seeing someone else behind Kathy's back or not. This is about Chandler really breaking the trust between the two of them.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
Oh, now, while all this tragedy is going on in one apartment, there's what can only be described as comedy happening over the road. You picked up on this earlier. This lift, there's a couple of really nice dynamics in here. There's Monica and Ross and the brother-sister dynamic that we love that they bring out. And there's also the kind of Rachel-Ross little, where they've been doing little, not really tricks on each other, but they've been quite snappy with each other and trying to kind of burn each other for the last few episodes. There's a bit more of that in here as well. So
then
just one of the most iconic, hilarious moments of the whole thing. For me, it's so memorable. That bit when he's in the apartment, he plays the sound for the first time.
Oh, really?
Absolutely. It's my favourite joke as well, even though it's not really a joke. I cannot watch that without laughing. I think it's
absolutely... Really?
Yeah, I think it's amazing. Oh. Absolutely amazing.
The song itself.
The way David Schwimmer does it, the false starts when they're all like cringing because he just presses a little note ever so quietly. I like to think of my sound as, what does he say? Wordless sound poems. And they're all getting really, really annoyed with it. And then he's so kind of grand and considers himself an artist when this noise comes out of his keyboard, and he makes them pause at the end for the very last moment.
Yeah. He does do some good stuff, like when he kind of looks around for the Nino, all this kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, and the sound of like whatever it is, kind of shooting or firing or something, and he's
that is really funny. Maybe it's because I've just seen it so many times that it's lost its impact a bit on me, but it is actually, when you think about on the script, it would have been like, then Ross plays his song. Like, to go from Ross playing his song to that's quite the shift, is it? I love how Monica goes, she's like, oh yeah, when he goes, yeah, I spent the summer really working on my sound, and she does a spit take, she spits out a drink and she goes, oh my god, I forgot about my sound. It's so true, isn't it? It's the kind of thing like in your teenage years, you do something and then you'd be like, oh my god, I forgot about that. That was so funny.
Yeah, that's really good. And I like Rachel's, you should play in public, like that's her little poke at him just to try and humiliate him even more, which inexplicably he follows through with. It's good. I like the little twist as well, where where Phoebe genuinely thinks it's brilliant, and then the way they sort of reveal to her, to try and get her to see that it's actually bad, is by telling her, by being, I love the little look between Monica and Rachel, because Phoebe's like, oh no, he's amazing, and they're like, we were just pretending it was good. And then they sort of look at each other and they're like, Phoebe, you suck too, because Phoebe's kind of jealous that Ross isn't appreciated in his own time.
Oh, he's underappreciated his own time. Oh god, I wish I was. Yeah, Phoebe, you suck too. You're terrible. Oh, you guys.
Yes.
You suck too.
You suck too. You suck too.
Funny.
Yeah, I really, really like it. And then Ross does that thing where he sort of plays badly on purpose. And then Monica's like, oh, you were doing that this whole time. No.
Oh god, that is so funny at the end how she does that. Yeah. Yeah. She's like, oh, you were trying to play bad this whole time. And he goes, no, just that last song.
And at first, she's got earplugs in as well at first. He asks her a
question. I know. Like, she's like, what's that? Yeah, she's sitting at the coffee shop and she's got the earplugs in. Yeah, that's what I mean about like the characters like taking the piss out and stuff. They really, there's a real kind of brother-sister mockery going on here that's really funny. And the way that Ross goes, no, just that last song, and it's all kind of blown open, isn't it? Like, oh, you thought I was bad the whole time.
Yeah, it's great. We like these little backstory moments of Ross, don't we? Because it's very authentic to who Ross is as a grown-up, I think. Like the fact that he, you know, we've seen Mr. Cartel in the prom video. We've heard about his little, you made us call you B with his little tea parties. And then, of course, in the very last episode, we hear how he once lived in that apartment when he spent the summer trying to become a dancer. But it's so authentic to who he is, even though he's a respectable professor. That kind of nerdy side of him. Yeah.
I totally imagine him in his basement doing that shit music.
Yeah, totally. I think by that you mean the sound.
Oh my god. Okay, so there are some really good bits in this episode.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So are you putting it any higher than 10 now we've talked about
it? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe it's because I was a bit like, this sounds really bad, but I was a bit like, is Chandler, what Chandler does that bad? Because you know, he's just dating other women, they're not exclusive, it's not that bad, but there's so much more to it than that.
Yeah, he crosses a line for sure.
There's a funny joke in there as well when he goes, come on, he's like, you know, you need to settle down, choose a girl, pick a lane, who's a lane?
Yeah, that's great. That's very, very good. I like that. Yeah. So your favourite joke was when Joey lets people watch, because...
Yeah, I thought she was doing a scene, which is why I let everybody watch. Like, you could just imagine, like, oh, everyone can watch this, and he gets broken up with, and he's like, oh, and he's got an audience. So funny.
I also think it's very unusual for him to get broken up with, right? Normally he does.
Yeah.
My favourite joke was Ross playing the sound, specifically for the first time.
Fair enough.
Who was your favourite friend?
Oh, it's got to be Chandler again.
Yeah,
why it's often Chandler, isn't it?
I know. What are your reasons?
Well, it's just we really long and will him to have this moment with Kathy, which when you shouldn't really be longing for it and willing them to do it, the fact that you are shows how much you're into Chandler and how much you want Chandler to be happy.
Yeah, and then testament, I think, to his performance here, because he very much, you invest in him so much that, yeah, you even want him to do this bad thing that will not end well. Joey, though, was a very close second for me.
Yeah.
I think he played...
Because he would have stepped aside. He's like, I really like Kathy. And Joey's a bit like, well, okay, she's single now anyway. But it just feels like he was going to be cool about that. He's like, because you came to me first, He was going to be a good guy about it. And he's been hurt by his buddy.
Yeah, very much so.
And then David, Ross surely should be up there as well for making you laugh so hard with his iconic song.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Although I think I often go with... Particularly when there are these trickier moments or trickier storylines, I like the depth. I like where Matthew Perry sort of takes you to here. I think it's quite difficult in a comedy show to get you to take something very seriously, and I think he does that really well. That sort of sets you up for that. It's all tainted by your betrayal. And then his reaction is our reaction.
Yeah,
he sort of sees what he's done, doesn't he? So he has crossed a hell of a line.
Yeah,
and next time the line is now a dot, and he's going from a line to a box.
He is. Yeah, good. Right. Well, we'll talk about the box in detail next time. Do tweet us, subscribe, and on Facebook. Any questions, any comments, any thoughts, just let us know.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. So next time, again, it's very Chandler-centric, isn't it? Chandler has crossed the line. That's the title of this episode. Chandler is in a box. That's the title of the next episode. I like it because it's mysterious. You think, what? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
It will be explained.
It so does, yeah. The reasons are threefold.
Yes, indeed, and we'll find out what they are. Oh, I just heard the ding of my bread maker. That's a cinnamon raisin loaf that I made.
Oh, that's my favourite of the loaves. Oh.
That I'm not going to eat because it's all tainted.
Oh,
your betrayal.
Yeah. All right, go and enjoy your loaf then.
I will.
That's our podcast. Thanks for listening to the end. Friends, from A to Z, we hope that you come back again. You've got a confession.
And you share our obsession too.